Brilliance Audio presents The Ghost of Crutchfield Hall by Mary Downing Hahn, performed by Sarah Coombs. My parents had drowned in a boating accident when I was 5 years old. When no relative stepped forward to claim me, I was sent to Miss Medlicote's, where I spent 7 wretched years learning to sew and read and write from a series of strict teachers who had little patience with girls who could not stitch a neat row or learn their arithmetic. We were cold in the winter, hot in the summer, and hungry all year round. If we dared to complain, we were beaten and locked in the punishment closet. Then one day, just a week ago, a solicitor appeared at the orphanage and informed Miss Medlicote that I was the great-niece of Thomas Crutchfield, my father's uncle. My uncle had searched for me a long time and finally learned my whereabouts. As soon as proper arrangements were made, Mr. Greybeale said I was to live at Crutchfield Hall with my uncle, his spinster sister, Eugenie, and my cousin James, the orphaned son of my father's only brother. Glancing around the dreary sitting room, Mr. Greybeale had told me I was a fortunate girl. "She certainly is." Miss Medlicote fixed me with a sharp eye. "I am certain Florence will show her gratitude as she has been taught." I knew full well how fortunate I was to escape Miss Medlicote's establishment, but I merely bowed my head to avoid her stare. Now was not the time to express my feelings. "What sort of boy is my cousin James?" I asked Mr. Greybeale. "Is he my age? Is he—"
"I've never met the child," Mr. Greybeale said, "but I hear he's rather delicate."
I stared at the solicitor, wondering what he meant. "Is he sickly?"
"Florence," Miss Medlicote interrupted, "do not pester the gentleman with trivial questions. Your curiosity does not become you."
"It's all right," Mr. Greybeale told Miss Medlicote. Turning to me, he said, "The boy has suffered much in his short life. His mother died soon after he was born, and his father succumbed to a fever a few years later. Not long after James and his older sister Sophia arrived at Crutchfield Hall, the girl was killed in a tragic accident. So much loss has been difficult for James to bear."
I stared at Mr. Greybeale. "I'm so sorry," I whispered. Perhaps I should not have asked about James's health. But if I had not, how would I have known about my cousin's tragic past and Sophia's death? Disturbing as these events were, I needed to be aware of them, if only to avoid asking my aunt and uncle inappropriate questions. With a rustle of silk, Miss Medlicote rose to her feet.
"I believe Mr. Greybeale has satisfied your unseemly curiosity, Florence. You may return to your lessons while I sign the necessary papers."
Now, as the coach bounced and swayed over rough roads, I thought about Sophia. If only she hadn't died. If only she were waiting for me at Crutchfield Hall. The friend I'd always wanted, the sister I'd never had. I imagined us whispering and giggling together, sharing books and games and dolls, telling each other secrets. We'd sleep in the same room and talk to each other in the dark. We'd go for long walks in the country. She'd show me her favourite things. A creek that swirled over white pebbles, lily pads in a pond, a bird's nest, butterflies, a tree with branches low enough to sit on and read. Maybe we'd have a dog or a pony. Suddenly the coach hit a bump with enough force to hurl me against the man beside me. He drew away and scowled as if offended by my proximity. Brought back to the scruffy confines of reality, I let go of my daydream. Sophia would not be waiting for me at Crutchfield Hall. I would have no sister. Just James. Delicate James. A brother who might not be well enough to play. With a sigh, I reminded myself that I was a fortunate girl. With every turn of the coach's wheels, I was leaving Miss Medlicote's home for orphan girls further and further behind. Surely I'd be happier at Crutchfield Hall than I'd been with Miss Medlicote.